Amen. Grab your Bibles. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 is where we'll be today. John chapter 14. Now I'm about to ask or to broach a topic that might be tough for some of you guys. Some of your wives, get your elbows sharpened up. Are y'all ready, wives? I'm about to ask about asking for directions. Amen. Wives, go ahead. Just give them one good elbow. Say, doggone. How many of you guys have ever stopped to ask for directions? Why is it that it kills our man soul to do that? I mean, again, you know, there have been a lot of times where Christy says, just stop and ask somebody. And I'm like, no, doggone it. I'm going to be lost. I'm going to be lost by myself. I'm not going to worry about letting somebody else know that I am. You know, there was a little boy that asked his mama, said, Mama, why in the world did Moses wander in the desert for 40 years? And her answer was, honey, he was a man, wasn't he? Even he wasn't going to stop and ask for directions, okay? Sometimes, though, we have no idea where we're going, and we just have to stop to ask for directions. Now, I don't know about you, but when I've stopped to ask or when someone has given me directions, it seems to me that folks who give directions typically fall into two camps. One camp is the camp that like just gives landmarks, right? Go up there and turn by the big sign and you'll see this hillside and this house, it's this color. All right, how many of you guys give directions like that with landmarks? All right, and then the other side are those who give street names, okay? Go to Cave Mill Road, turn left, go all the way over to whatever road. You see what I'm saying? You give the street names. How many of you guys give more directions like that? All right. The quality of the directions you get is just dependent on the person you get. But, you know, sometimes you go up to people and they say something like this. Well, go up yonder about a half mile, take a right past the old country store, go about 3 more miles and turn left. Or is it right? Or is it left? No, it's left. And when you see that big old wagon wheel that's been turned into a mailbox, just look for the next road right past that. I think it's called Hog's Breath Holler Road. I've never been on that road, but I bet it exists somewhere. And if you pass the big John Deere green water tower, you went too far. Go just a mile up the road there. It'll be on your right. You can't miss it. That's what they always say, isn't it? You can't miss it. In today's text, Jesus proves to be a master direction giver. We've all gotten directions where it's like, what in the world did they just say? It's like all of a sudden you got directions from a Chinese person when you're in America and they're speaking a language that you have no clue how to understand what they're saying. But Jesus here in this passage gives very clear directions that when you walk away, when you move past to go where he are talking about going, you know exactly how to get there. You see, Jesus declares in John 13 that he's going to be going to a place with the disciples. He's only going to be with them for a little while longer. And then he says this, that he's going to go away to a place that they cannot come. Now, Peter, of course, and, you know, he's always the bold one. Jesus, where are you going? And Jesus responds in this way. He says, I'm going to a place where you cannot follow me now, but one day you will. And so sensing their confusion and disappointment, I mean, that would be disappointing, right? Jesus, you just said you're going to go somewhere and we cannot go with you right now. We want to follow you wherever you go, Jesus. And so sensing that, Jesus says these words in John chapter 14, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Look at what it says. Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also, and you know the way to where I'm going. Jesus assumes right here that they know. I mean, they've been with him for 3 years. Surely by now they know the way to get to where Jesus is going. But Thomas speaks up at verse 5. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus is like, what? You don't even know where I'm going? And Thomas is like, no, I don't even know where you're going. So how in the world can we know the way? In other words, how do we get there? And Jesus is about to lay some directions on them. And they are directions that every single one of us should take heed of. Every single one of us should burn in our heart these directions, memorize them, commit them to memory that we might live by them. Look at verse 6, and this is our text for this morning. Would you stand with me to honor the reading of God's word? John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thomas, you want to know the way? Jesus says, you're looking at him. Let's pray together. Father, would you help us this morning as we open your word and try to dissect your word that we might gain understanding? And Father, once we gain understanding, would you help us to gain application into our lives that we might go and live what we've heard today? And Father, for the one that does not know the way to heaven, would you speak into their life today that they might know how they can go where Jesus is? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're continuing in our series this morning, The Great I Am. And so far in this series, we've seen that Jesus is the bread of life, that Jesus is the light of the world. And this morning we're talking about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, particularly the way. All right? The way. Today, Jesus is giving us directions to heaven where the Father is. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so this morning, I want to just point out just two very simple but massively important truths for you this morning that you can hang your hat on. These are truths that have stood the test of time. This is truth that is truly true. The first I want you to understand is that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Now, for some of you this morning, that might not be groundbreaking, but I pray this morning that every one of us would just get this buried in our heart, that once again it might be stirred up to realize how important Jesus is. You see, he's the only option that we have. You know, when you travel places, I mean, there are different ways you can go. Like, for instance, if we were going to go to Glasgow this morning, most of us would probably go north on I-65 to the Cumberland Parkway. But some of us, we would take I-65 to Oakland and then get off the exit there and drive 6880 into Glasgow. But still others of us, we would go first to Scottsville and then go up 31E, wouldn't we? And there are many more combinations. I know we've got some Glasgow folks here this morning. And so they could tell us all sorts of different ways to get to Glasgow. But I want you to notice here in this text the exclusivity of the way to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way. The way. No one enters into heaven but through me, Jesus says. Now, I want to drop a little knowledge on here for just a moment that might stir you up a bit. There are actually two ways to heaven. There are actually two ways to heaven. One way is just to earn your way to heaven. Just be perfect. If you would just be perfect, you could get in. Just live your entire life without sin. That's it. That's all you have to do. Now, unfortunately, that road, that path, that way to heaven has a huge road closed sign on it. You see, that way for you and me is impassable now. We've already blown it up. We've already taken dynamite and strapped it to that bridge into heaven, that pathway, and we've blown it to pieces. In fact, the Bible tells us that you and I blew it long before you and I ever knew that we blew it. It was done, the Bible says. We were born with this way blown for us. Psalm 51:5 in the NIV, I like the way it says it here. In the NIV, Psalm 51:5 says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. You see, Adam, our first father, blew it for us. And when he sinned, the Bible says that we all sinned by inheriting his guilt. You and I and every single human being are conceived, the Bible says, in guilt. Now, we often look at babies and we say, oh, look at him. Look how cute he is. I mean, I just had one turn 1 year old, and here this afternoon we're going to have a little birthday party. And we look at him, we say, oh, look how innocent he is. Look how innocent he is. And from a human standpoint, they are. They are precious. They are as pure as the driven snow from a human standpoint. But from God's standpoint, they are not. We are not. They are conceived in guilt, the Bible says, and later add on their own guilt. Now, friends, I fully believe that the Bible teaches that every child who dies before they come to that age of accountability or that moment of accountability, which I believe is probably somewhere between the age of 8 and 12 for most children, I believe that every one of these precious children will go straight to heaven. But it will not be because they are innocent. It'll be because God is gracious and merciful and will not hold their sin or Adam's sin against them, the Bible says. Every one of them, God in his grace, due to that child's physical developmental inability to understand the glory of God and to understand the gospel and to exercise faith, he imputes their sin to Jesus and imputes Jesus' righteousness to them. Friend, there is no person in heaven. There will be no person in heaven because of their own sinlessness besides Jesus Christ. Every single person there, all of us who will be in heaven, will be there because of Jesus' sinlessness and because of Jesus' blood. So one way to get to heaven is to just earn it. But that road is closed by sin. And it's not an option for us anymore. Therefore, that leaves only one path for you and for me. If we are going to get to heaven, we've got to go that second way, which is through Jesus. You see, Jesus entered in the first way, didn't he? He never sinned. Everything that he was supposed to do, he did. He earned heaven. And he offers every person this second way, who will turn and believe on him. We must turn from self and from sin and turn to Jesus in faith and love, the Bible said. The road of self-righteousness is closed. But dear ones, listen to me closely. The road of Jesus' righteousness is wide open. Self-righteousness closed, but Jesus' righteousness wide open. Everyone who will call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says. You see, he earned heaven for himself and every person who will believe on him. So what do we have to do? Well, we have to cast our hopes on Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. So speaking of Jesus, Peter tells us in Acts 4:12, listen to what he says. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You see, speaking of Jesus, he goes on to tell us in Romans 10:11, 12, and 13. He says, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And what is the name of the Lord, church? Jesus. That's right. Jesus. Jesus is the way, the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Now you say, Pastor Ben, how can you say that when all of these other religions, they are putting forth that their way is to heaven. Their way is to nirvana. Their way is to be reincarnated to something higher. How can we stand here and say and claim that Jesus is the only way? Number one, because the Bible says that he is. Guys, it's an authority issue. What's your authority? Who is your authority? Is it some human who just made up something and seems to work and people have latched onto it for thousands of years? Or are you going to base your life on revelation straight from God that has been proved time and time again? The Word of God proclaims that Jesus is the only way. And yes, that's exclusive. It is exclusive. But he's the way. God in his mercy has revealed that way to us. And he has promised every one of us who will turn and walk this way, follow Jesus, will be saved. Some of y'all need to hear that this morning. You have been walking a different path other than Jesus. You've been trying to find your way and to work your way to heaven. But this morning, God has given you very clear directions. There's only one way, Jesus Christ. There's only one way. But you know what? Others of you, you're already on your way to heaven. So what does that mean? The question is not for some of you, will I go to heaven? The question is, will you tell other people the way to heaven? Guys, there are lost people out there. There are people who are groping about in darkness, trying to find their way. And they are lost. They don't know. In fact, the vast majority of people, they're not even asking for directions, are they? 7.6 billion people on this planet. And an enormous, untold number will die never even hearing of Jesus. Never even hearing the name of Jesus. Never even having the opportunity to call on the name of Jesus. Yet they are sinners. And the Bible says that they will receive their just punishment. So what does that mean for you and me? It means we got to go tell them, church. We got to get out there. We got to proclaim the directions. We got to proclaim the way. We can't sit back. Our neighbors are lost and going to hell. But we have the directions. And if we'll share it with them, some of them will say, I want Jesus. We've got to go around the world. We've got to tell. We've got to organize missions that will go into the nations and proclaim Christ. We have people right around us who have never heard the gospel. I shared the gospel with a girl last month. And I said, are you familiar with John 3:16? And she said, no, I don't even know what that is. I said, I began to quote it, for God so loved the world. And I said, do you know the rest of it? And she didn't. And we think, what? I mean, everybody knows John 3:16. But she didn't. Most of them have maybe heard of Jesus, but they've chosen to go their own way. They need to hear of Jesus again and again and again. And you and I need to do everything in our power to convince them to go the way of Jesus, because Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's it. That's the first truth that I want you to hear this morning, and I want you to understand. But please, don't let it stop here. Don't let it just stop in your brain. Don't let it just go in your ears and stop there. Would you let that get down into your heart, that you might do something about the lostness of this world? The second truth I want you to see is this. If Jesus is the only way to heaven, then this second truth is true. Every other way than Jesus is three things. And we're going to look at these three things here. If he is the way, the truth, and the life, then every other way than Jesus is first lostness. It is lostness. Everything other than Jesus is lostness. There are four other major world religions in this world: Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, and Buddhism. And then there are several minor world religions such as Mormonism or Animism. And of course, there's the non-religion of atheism. Every single one of those religions perpetuate lostness. They are lostness pretending to be enlightenment. They are lostness masquerading as the way. They claim to get you somewhere, but they will not get you to the Father in heaven. Every other thing other than Jesus is lostness. But Jesus is also the truth. And so that means that everything other than Jesus is a lie. Is a lie. Everything other than Jesus is a lie. Listen, this is not something that we talk about a lot, but the demonic is real. The demonic is real. Satan and the third of the angelic hosts that fell with him from heaven, they're on a mission. In fact, I believe that they're running maybe even a military-like intelligence operation, and one of their greatest weapons is the lie. That's one of their greatest weapons. They love to take the truth and to twist it and to put out information that's false to get people to go the wrong way. Paul, he describes the situation this way in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. This is how he describes it. He says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." Wow. "Though the sincerity of liars, through the insincerity of liars, whose consciences are seared." Guys, that means we've got to guard our hearts against deceit. And I promise you this, in the age of the information age that we live in, Mark Twain said this, he said, "A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes." And if that was true when Twain lived, you better believe in 2015, lies can spread virally like that. You could spread a lie right now. You and I could spread a lie right now. Again, here in these latter days, as Paul describes, we're going to see this increase. And so I have to believe what he's describing there. I believe we are in the latter days. Of course we are. Of course we're in the latter days, because Jesus said that the latter days begin when he came. And so we're certainly in the latter days. But I believe that time is short. I believe it's very short. And I believe that soon and very soon, Jesus Christ will come again. And you better believe that right now, the demonic are working overtime. Think about that in your job. When there's a deadline coming up, what do? You double your efforts. You work overtime. You work weekends. You do everything in your power to pull off your operation so that you meet the deadline. The demonic know that their deadline is coming. And you better believe they are working furiously to lead as many of us astray as they can. So Twain said that a truth can travel halfway around the world while a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting on its shoes. But I appreciate what Edgar Moan said. I think he struck the right balance to Twain's comment. Moan said this, he said, "A lie has speed, but truth has endurance." Amen? Praise God for the enduring nature of the truth. There is one truth, church, and his name is Jesus Christ. He will endure forever. He's the victor. The Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the judge of all the earth, above the earth, under the earth, in the earth. He is the Lord God Almighty. And I declare to you this morning, a lie doesn't stand a chance against Jesus. Amen? Doesn't stand a chance. He will be victorious. Yet, lies persist. And they will be allowed for another short while until Jesus returns. But until then, we have to realize that everything else other than Jesus is a lie. Again, that's hard for us to swallow, especially us younger folks, Because we live in that pluralistic generation where everybody's truth is valid. We've forgotten in the younger generation the law of non-contradiction. And I'm not going to get it. Go look that up. If one thing is true, the opposite thing cannot be true. Amen? And if Jesus says he is the only way to heaven, then what does that mean? There's no other way. Everything else other than Jesus is lostness and a lie. And finally, everything else, if Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, then everything else other than Jesus is death. It's death. Everything else other than Jesus is death. Guys, it looks great for a time. It looks like it's really intelligent. It looks like it's super spiritual. But it's death, beloved. It's death. It's death not only in this age, but it's death also in the age to come, forevermore in hell. The Bible describes hell. It basically says that that's where you'll be shut out completely from the experience of God's mercy, grace, and goodness. Now imagine that for a moment. The simplest forms of goodness that you can think of on this earth, you will be shut out from. The Bible says that you'll always be dying, but always alive. The Bible says that there will be unending fire and smoke and agony, yet you will never cease to exist. The Bible says that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The scripture says about hell that the worm of decay there will never die, always consuming, but never completely consuming you. This is the way, again, the Bible, the authority, the truth describes hell. But dear one, can I say to you this morning that if that's the way the Bible describes hell, it sounds terrible. But could I say this morning that it's going to be way worse than that? It's going to be way worse. I believe that the English language cannot fully explain and carry the depth of the horrid existence of hell. The same way I believe the English language can't carry the weight of the glory and majesty of heaven. As good as the Bible says heaven will be, I believe it'll be way better. But the same is true about hell. As bad as the Bible makes hell out to be, I believe that it will be way worse. Way worse. It will be, as it says, utter death forevermore. Everything else other than Jesus is death. So before you today, you have an option. Every one of you in here, from the youngest who can understand what I'm saying to the oldest in here who still has a mind, every one of you has a choice set before you. And there are great consequences to either choice. Great consequences. Choose Jesus, and you will know the way and the truth and the life. Choose anything else, and the Bible says that you will know lostness, a lie, and death. So I say to you this morning, which way will you choose? Choose wisely. Choose wisely. I pray, again, my job that God has sent me to do is to try to convince you of the way of Jesus. And in love, I've poured out my heart to you this morning, begging you, go to Jesus. Follow Jesus. Trust Jesus. I don't care if you're 9 years old or 90 years old. Trust Jesus. If you want life everlasting, if you want to be forgiven of your sin, if you want to know truth and you want to have life, then there's only one path, and that path's name is Jesus. Here's my prayer to close up. May you follow Jesus all the way to heaven. Would you pray with me?